get into the introduction, just want us to consider and remember that when you're studying any books of the Bible, in reading and studying these books, you must realize that they were written later, after the events had taken place. We're so used to technology today that when we read or see, it's almost as a verbatim, real-time thing that is happening when you read. But in studying the Word, we need to keep in mind and bear in mind that it was written later. It's not an account of what's happening right then, and somebody is there writing it down in a journal right as it's happening. We need to tend to think that it's not real-time, but it is a writing later on that is happening as the author is like writing a journal. It is written after the events took place. When you look at Nehemiah, and this is evident when you look at the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter deals with the working on the wall in Nehemiah. Fourth chapter deals with them working on the wall, some of the opposition that takes place. In the sixth chapter, it continues on there in the sixth chapter, again concerning the opposition that's taking place in the building of the wall. In the middle of these two, in chapter 5, though, you have inserted, in chapter 5, the account of Nehemiah telling of his being governor for 12 years. So that has already taken place. So there again, bear in mind that this is a recollection or a writing after the events that took place, because inserted between chapter 4 and chapter 6 is chapter 5. And again, Nehemiah there talks about in defending his position in verses 14 and so forth on down in chapter 5 that he had been governor there for 12 years. So we can see from this that in his conducting himself as governor, he's relating after as far as the events that have took place. So bear that in mind as we go through and study the book of Nehemiah. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of difficult for you when you try to reconcile chapter 5 being in the middle of 4 and 6 as far as now we're, you know, when or what time did this take place as far as did he already serve 12 years and then chapter 6 starts taking place after that. It's a recount from there on. As a way of the introduction, the covenant or agreement that God made with the children of Israel, we have to look at in regards to obedience and disobedience when they came into the land of Canaan as they inherited it for a possession. If you would turn to Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Leviticus, the 26th chapter. And we have set forth in this chapter, the requirements of obedience in the 26th chapter in the first three verses. We find that they are to make no idols nor graven image. They do not rear up a standing image like a sacred pillar. And they are not to set up any image or an engraved stone in the land. And they're not to bow down to worship it or make obeisance to it, any idol or graven image. We find that they are to keep God's Sabbath, that they are to have reverence for His sanctuary, and that they are walking God's statutes and keep His commandments in doing them in obedience. He says in verse 26, chapter 26 and verse 1, "You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in the due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the fruit of the trees shall yield their fruit." So it sets forth in verses 1 through 3. Here's the things that if you do, these are what is required of you. Now, bear in mind also for further study if you want, in verse 2 of chapter 26, when he says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths," that is not only talking about the Sabbath day, but it is also talking about the Sabbaths that the land was supposed to have. And God had set forth the times that there was supposed to be rest in the land or Sabbaths in the land, which Israel did not do that. There were certain times that they weren't supposed to do anything in the land for a year or whatever, that it would produce on its own, to let it go, and they were to observe that. And that didn't happen. And you'll find in the writings, when he's talking about them going into captivity, he said, "Now my lands will have their Sabbath." In other words, through the 70 years, he said, "My lands will have their Sabbath that they were required of." So there was a lot of rules and regulations that they were supposed to keep, which they did not. In regards to, it wasn't just that they didn't observe the Sabbath day, but they didn't observe the Sabbath of the lands. But they were to observe these, and the benefits he talks about in verses 4 through 13, the benefits in obedience to God's commands is that the rains would be there to freshen the ground for crops. The land and the trees would be fruitful in yielding their increase. Their food and their crops would last until the next harvest, and they would be full and not needy. They would dwell in the land in safety and in peace and be not afraid. The evil beast, the wild beast, would be removed from the land along with the threat of war or the threat of the sword. They would be victorious over their enemies. They would be multiplied as a people, and they would not be enslaved as bondmen. When you look at those verses 4, "Then I will give you rain in due season, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your oath, and made you upright." God keeps referring them back to this concept that you were in bondage in Egypt. Remember what it was like. And now that you're free from that bondage, they have a certain requirement or obligation that they need to meet. And this would be the blessing with it. He says, remember where you came from. Remember the bondsmen that you were, how terrible it was in Egypt, and how you cried unto me concerning the things that were taking place. A lot of that, too, has to do with some of the feelings that they should have had for foreigners, for strangers, and for their own brethren, is that the Lord repeatedly talks about that. That remember that you were slaves in Egypt, that you were bondmen in Egypt. Remember how it felt. Remember the oppression that you went through. And we'll see the same thing that is brought up by Nehemiah when the people are oppressing each other. And in that oppression, when they're oppressing each other, Nehemiah stands before them and shows them their sin that they did. And again, it's back to reminding that, remember where you were in Egypt at one time. This is the way you were. And now that you're out and free on your own, now you are doing it to even your fellow brothers, to the other fellow Jews, to their children, and so forth. And they had forgot what it was like over this time of years. And God doesn't want that. So he tells them, this is what it's going to be if you will obey. Then in chapter 26 and verses 14 through 39, he explains to them, here's the result if you're disobedient to me. They would have terror. They would have consumption, which is a wasting disease. They would have burning ague, which is fever, to afflict them. Their enemies would eat their harvest, and they would sow in vain. Their enemies would slay them and reign over them. Land and trees would not yield their fruit. Wild beasts would slay their children, their cattle, and their number would be diminished. They would be scattered among the heathen nations and would suffer great sorrow. Verse 14, "But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if you so abhor my judgments, so that you will not do my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee from when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I also will walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and will bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savior of your sweet odor. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathens, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. He talks about that again, concerning the hardness that they were going to face in disobedience to God's commandments. We can see the way that if you are in opposition to the Lord's commandments, how you're going to suffer, how the hardness was going to be in their way of life upon that. And he said, upon them which are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they that shall fall one upon another, as if it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathens, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in their enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of the fathers shall they pine away with them. Here's the condition it's going to be, he says, if there's disobedience. We know, based upon the writings, that this was the case of what they did. This is what the Lord brought about upon the children of Israel because of disobedience to the commands and the precepts that God had set forth. We find that in the siege of Jerusalem and the besetting about it, that they did eat their children because there was for lack of food. They turned to cannibalism with that in order to try to survive because the sieging of around the city had took so long and they could not get food in. So therefore they resorted to that. We see what God says your way is going to be in this. They would be scattered. They would suffer great sorrow. And we see this when we get into Nehemiah in looking at it, as far as when you look at how Nehemiah felt. Did he pine away while he was there in Susan? Did he pine away considering the plight of Jerusalem and how the city was and so forth? And a lot of them did. But God is merciful. God is full of compassion. God never drew the line and said this was it. But he always left a way for man. And that he explains in verse 40. The promise of restoration. if repentance is sought. If you seek repentance, God would be merciful to them. God would remember His covenant prior with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God would remember the land. He would not utterly destroy them in captivity, nor break His covenant with them. Verse 40, If they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. Notice here in this verse 40, not only their trespass, but the trespass of who else? Their father's trespass. So it spans a period of time that this rebellion was taking place against God. It was not just them, but it was also the generation before them. Their father's trespasses, he mentions here, their iniquities of their fathers, and their trespasses, that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary to them. Here's God's relationship to them. And have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Here you have the punishment that is placed upon them, the softening of their heart. What is it that God wants? God wants a broken and contrite spirit. And in that, also the responsibility. There's responsibility with this also that you can see in repentance. The responsibility here in repentance is you accept the punishment of your iniquity. That is something that you see lacking today quite a bit. There is crime that is committed, there's iniquity that is committed, but yet they don't want to accept the punishment that goes along with it. They view themselves as the victim. Here he says, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. What's interesting to note here, that this is the only place I believe, you can check on it, that the order is reversed in the covenant. It's usually the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and here it's reversed, the covenant of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they will accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgment, and because their soul abhor my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors when I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel and Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Here was the covenant that was made between the people. And if you remember, the people accepted and ratified that covenant. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Along with this, plenty of warnings is given. In Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verses 23 through 31, you have the admonition from Moses. Again, telling the people, do not turn to idols. Do not corrupt yourselves in the land and do evil. The result of forgetting the covenant would lead to perishment from the land. They would be scattered among the nations. They would be in tribulation in foreign lands. God is a merciful God, and if they would turn and repent, He would not forsake them, neither destroy them, nor forget the covenant that He had made with their fathers. Again, it's the restating, the admonition that Moses is giving them again in verse 23 through 31. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image for the likeness of anything which the Lord God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And when thou shalt beget children and children's children, ye shall remain long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye shall go over Jordan to possess it, and ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient to his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto you. Here's what God would do, and this is his promise that he had made to them, if they would turn and make that repentance and get back right with him. In the 30th chapter, again Moses speaks to them of Deuteronomy. In the 30th chapter. And the reason that we're going through this and looking at all this is because this is the plight that it actually happens to the children of Israel. And we will see what the Lord had done. And the reason that we do this is because Nehemiah was very well acquainted with these commands. He was acquainted with these scriptures, the Old Testament, because he brings that up in the first chapter concerning God said he was going to do this. And Nehemiah, after all these years, knew that. And so, therefore, we're looking at what God said. It wasn't something that came upon them by surprise. But Nehemiah saw it, and he brings that up in his prayer to God. He brings it up, yes, God, you said you would do this if we went and sinned against you. But, God, you also said if we repent, you bring us back. Moses speaks again to Israel concerning repentance after disobedience to the covenant in chapter 30, verses 1 through 5, that if they're in captivity and they repent and they turn unto God, obeying his commands with all their heart and soul, God would have compassion on them and turn or bring back from their captivity. God would gather them from all nations where he scattered them, even unto the outermost parts he would fetch them, and bring them back into the land which they possessed. God would do them good and multiply them. 30th chapter, verses 1 through 5, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that he command thee this day, thou and thy children with all your heart and with all your soul, that when the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the outermost parts of heaven from whence the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Again, the blessings there that would come about if they would just resolve to do what God had said. Of course, Israel became disobedient to the covenant. We know that. They did transgress the covenant, and they went into captivity, and they were taken into foreign lands. We find that they served the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians. The thing that is interesting is that even when they were displaced, the governments at that time that took them captive replaced them with other people. In being displaced from their lands, others were located in there by the controlling nations to take care of the land or to watch over the land. In 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, and the others that come in to the land that are there, the reason that they are there is because the other governments, the foreign nations, have placed them there. And these are the ones that bring about the opposition, not only to Ezra, but to Nehemiah, and all down through time, even in the days of Christ. These that were settled there ended up becoming opposition because they were from the heathen nations. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 24, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Kathah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Seraphim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. When you look at this, that they brought the men, these were substituted people forming what later became known as the Samaritans. And of course, we're well aware that when Israel came back, there was an intermixture between the Samaritans, the foreign nations, the Samaritans and the Israelites, which with those mixed marriages and so forth, that's brought about in the New Testament time the opposition that the true Jews had against the Samaritans because they were a mixture, an intermingling of the two. So bear that in mind. So they're placed there. They later became the Samaritans. When you look at 2 Kings, the 25th chapter, we find that as God had promised, there is the destruction of Jerusalem. The 25th chapter of 2 Kings, starting at verse 8. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all of the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fled away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldeans break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls of such as were of gold and silver and silver the captain of the guard took away. We see the destruction taking place here and the desolation. The chronicle account, when you look at 2 Chronicles 36, gives the same detail concerning the destruction. We see here what's happened to Jerusalem. The temple is destroyed inside. Things are burnt down. And in verse chapter 36 and verses 13 through 19, again, and he also rebelled, talking about Zedekiah, he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests of the people transgressed very much after the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on the people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon them, upon their young men or maiden, old men or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, and they burnt the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces therewith with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereupon. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Israel was to remain in captivity until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, and this was to fulfill God's word that he had spoke ahead of time by Jeremiah that the land would be desolate for 70 years. And we see that in verses 20 through 23. And now in the first year, in verses 22, you see where Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah Maya might be accomplished. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. He made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and saying, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who there is among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him and let him go up. So there we see then the fulfillment that there is going to be. God is bringing them back. from captivity back into Jerusalem. The book of Ezra reflects the history of the two returns from Babylon, of the remnant who chooses to leave Babylon and come back to Jerusalem. The first return is led by Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, and the second is under the leadership of Ezra to rebuild the spiritual condition of the people. Nehemiah is the third return to Jerusalem and relates the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem and the restoring of proper worship through his reforms. So this here sets the mindset in your mind concerning what happened to Jerusalem, how it got destroyed, how it was, and now those are coming back from captivity to start rebuilding their city, to start rebuilding the walls. But bear in mind, picture in your mind the condition of the city. It's tore down. It's burnt. It wasn't cleaned up. You've got all this rubble laying around. You've got all this stone. Everything is still just piled up, and it's been left there, and it's a desolate city. Any question or comments?
Okay. Thank you.